And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merge. Merge, how you doing?
Lakers are fun, people. It's just... and fuck you, Dylan Brooks. Go ahead.
Then we got our buddy Alan. Alan, as always, how are you doing?
If my future employers heard that, I do not represent the views and values of Merge or the Under the Bus podcast right now. I do not say swear words or derogatory comments about any of these players. I am here to have fun and watch great basketball. Luckily, and also, Dylan Brooks.
Luckily, I'm a California teacher. I can pretty much say that all I want. Fuck Dylan Brooks. But
we have standards here in England, apparently. So
fuck you, Brits. I mean, you're not even truly British. You're Bosnian. So I mean,
I'm glad to be back on the show, though.
Yeah, Nelson, we have you on a laptop, not on a phone, and cutting out. So, Nelson, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I don't know what I'm allowed to say as a news reporter for the Southern California area. So I'm just going to be objective and say Lakers in six.
Very objective.
I love it.
That is objective, because if it was Laker homie, you'd say Lakers in four.
Yeah. Okay. So it has been much longer than we intended. We have all had a busy schedule. Lots of different things from WrestleMania for Merge. Mm-hmm. And Alan just with school and teaching and the England time zone and whatnot, and then just me with
I wear fancy clothes now, apparently.
Look at you. I am tenured. I can wear pretty much whatever I want, which includes jeans and a t-shirt.
90% you know what? Screw you. Screw you, Clay. Screw you.
Yeah, what's your plan at teachers union in America? You're good.
I mean, the California teachers,
California ones.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
and then Nelson is a reporter now. So I mean, he got what he wanted back in the day. So
I know, like,
he's busy. I don't know if it's the exact thing that he wanted back in the day, but
not yet. Soon, maybe one day.
His foot is in the door, and he's getting paid to report, and we're happy for him.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, so. And also, I was also at WrestleMania, by the way. Got to emerge.
I didn't realize person. Nelson went.
Nice. He went to everything else. He bought it like 2 hours before.
Yeah, I did. I was in the parking lot looking at tickets and like, okay, this is cheap enough. I'll pull the trigger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's get to it. The Lakers are fun, as Merge said. A little frustrating for me personally because the last podcast, I believe we had Raj on. I had said, like, shout out to Raj. We might get him. We'll see. I'm still trying to work him to get him on here. But anyways, I told Raj that I could see the Lakers going like 20-3, 21-2, some craziness. And then they were this close. That Mavericks game, that Houston game, and then as Merge reminded me, the Knicks game as well. They were just so close to that, and I would have just dragged my nuts over everything for that one, just to gloat.
What an about, image!
I don't see. I'm off the rails already. I don't give a fuck. Like, oh, this is wonderful. And Alan had to turn his camera off for a second because he was laughing.
My mic was muted, so I clicked the wrong button by accident. My bad.
but you know, like I was. It's like I kind of know something. I mean, I should have factored in some disappointments, but you know, I think they ended 17-7. I think that's what we decided from the last podcast that we had. Which got them to be the seventh seed. They were so close to being the sixth seed at one point. I think for an evening they were like the sixth seed, and then they dropped it. But
if they beat the Clippers, they're probably the five seed.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Like right there. I mean, we remember all the teams the Lakers are gonna have to beat, like the Dallas Mavericks, who didn't even make the play-in. Like, talk about crazy.
Thank you, like, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I love that, because how everyone wanted Kyrie so bad, and then he just tore that team apart. It just wonderful. To be fair, I can't blame it all on him.
To be fair,
but
according to Mavs beat reporters and Tim McMahon, who I trust more than Mavs beat reporters because he's more objective about it, Kyrie's actually been really, really good as a character around the Mavs. So
for sure, it's just bottom tier treating him. They had no defense.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But that's a Mavs problem, not a Kyrie issue.
No, for sure.
Again, it goes back to Nico Harrison and Mark Cuban. We dog on Kyrie.
Yeah,
that too. Yeah. We dog on Kyrie, rightly so. You know my opinions on Kyrie Irving. I don't have to hash him out again on this podcast. But I'll also, you know, be fair and say he's not been an issue in Dallas this time around. Let's see how it goes in 6 months' time when they re-sign into a 4-year, $200 million contract. But I digress.
Can't wait.
I also think Luka probably had some issues adjusting to having another ball dominant star. Like, he's never had that.
The offense got worse with Kyrie.
Right. Like, yeah.
Numbers wise.
Yeah, and I think
see next year being better offensively. Defensively, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, but I think it's a credit to, like, honestly, it kind of highlights how special LeBron is, because, like, he adjusted to Kyrie like immediately, and he didn't have like any growing pains to having a bunch of ball dominant players for the most part. I think.
I mean, if we want to make the equivalency, it would probably be more of LeBron with D-Wade and Chris Bosh.
Right. Yeah.
Back in the day, and there were growing pains. I mean, I think they were like 40 and 42 that first year, and was like the A seed or something, if I remember correctly. It was
weren't they like the 2-3 seed still?
No,
they were three seed.
I'll look it up. It just felt like that first year.
I remember them having like in their first like 30 or 40 games, they had like a really bad record.
They were 58-24.
They finished
second in the East. They went on that crazy run. When he won like
right
ton of games,
but did they get knocked early in the playoffs? That's probably what I'm thinking.
No, they lost to the Mavericks in the finals.
The first year.
Yep.
Yeah, they made the final all 4 years with LeBron.
You guys remember the LeBron and D Wade?
I'm fucking up right now.
Dirk Nowitzki coughing going into the
arena. Yep. I'm fucking up today. So whatever. I'll admit I was wrong on that.
That's what you get for being arrogant at the start. That's your problem there.
It's true. But again, I don't give a fuck. So I agree with Nelson on that, but he did it. LeBron had to deal with that with D Wade and Chris Bosh.
Yeah, so he probably got used to it already. Probably got used to like having so many ball handlers and need to defeat so many mouths that he kind of like already knew what kind of rhythm to establish with Kyrie and Caleb when they came over.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. We were going to talk a little bit about that run. I think we did an okay-ish job. That's now months old, it feels like. I still have been unable to watch the play-in game because I was sick and I've been busy with state testing at work. So I'm going to let Merge, Alan, and if Nelson watched, let you all talk about it. So Merge, how about you control about that?
Yeah, weird game. Really weird game overall. I will say, I told Alan this during the game. I think if you match AD's minutes with Kat in the first half, it's like a 8-12 point victory in regulation.
Because Kat it's a routine victory.
Them. Yeah, Kat was killing them in the first round. But there's also an 8-minute stretch where Wenyi and Gabriel and LeBron and Rui Hachimura were your fives at different points, and Kat killed them. And outside of that like stretch, they pretty much dominated the game. I mean, there was a crazy Mike Conley game. I mean, Mike Conley and Kyle Lowry both had like career research.
Oh my god!
Flashback Mike games Conley. Essentially.
Dude, average for the season.
I think Mike Conley didn't miss in the first half. I think he actually went perfect, or he might have like missed like 1 3-pointer. He went
I think he missed 1 3-pointer the whole game.
He went 7 for 8, which is ridiculous. That's just like a ridiculous number. And I mean, like, I think I forgot who was saying it on the broadcast that like, I think it was Reggie Miller who was saying that like, pretty much Minnesota has to like shoot perfectly or shoot like an astronomical number from the 3-point range just to like hang in the game, and that's exactly what they did the first half.
They had that, and they had like a generational Kyle Anderson defensive performance in the first half. He had four blocks and four steals in this game.
Yeah, and Cat got cooking, and the thing with Cat is like once he gets rolling offensively, like it is a little bit harder to stop. It would have been nice to have a defense in those minutes, but
very easy to knock him off of that groove as well. I feel at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And to be fair to the Timberwolves, like if Ant had a better game, like the Wolves probably would have won that game.
But also make the argument for the Lakers though as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, the thing is, like, I just meant Ant really just struggles from it for the whole game, and I think that's a credit to Vanderbilt knowing kind of what
not
to
just Vando, you know. Though Hachimura did a phenomenal job on.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Hachimura's really
and awesome. He also had I think he fell on his shoulder at one point too, so he was dealing with the really good defense of the Lakers.
Thanks, Rui.
And then he got
pump fake.
Yeah, it was. But outside of the normal, like LeBron, even though he had some ridiculous turnovers in the fourth quarter and overtime.
Oh my god, I wanted to kill him.
30-10-6. Anthony Davis was playing some
had
of the
a,
best
below
we,
average
we've talked
game.
About it. AD had a below average game. He was playing some of the best defense I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
There was a good like 6 minute stretch where like the Wolves could get absolutely nothing going. Really more than that. It was more like a 12-15 minute stretch.
So this is Anthony Davis's below average game, right? Uh-huh. 24 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks on 52.6% shooting from the field. That's insane.
Freak. He's a freak, you know? I mean, he's you a guy who I mean, when he gets going like that, especially defensively, there's no one better than him. It's not even close.
Do you know who was a game high in plus minus, though, who I want to give a special shout out to?
Dennis Schroeder,
yes. Yes. He's a plus 22.
Yeah. And
it felt like it.
It did. He is very, very impactful. He's a luxury to have, really, especially on the deal that we have him on. And with D'Angelo playing a really bad game, even though he had a pretty good playmaking game, 8 assists, 1 turnover. I think if D'Lo makes 2 threes, you don't look at the game as bad, honestly. But really, it was just about those main 3 guys and your big two superstars, and then Dennis, who really came in clutch defensively, brought a lot of energy, made I think it was 3 or 4 from 3. He was the only one that can make a 3, especially with Austin missing some threes that he's been making a lot over the last 20-ish games. Same with D'Angelo. Dennis was huge as well.
There's nothing like a play-in environment either, because it's essentially like a game 7, but there is no preparation time, as in there's no 6 games prior to that to make adjustments.
So I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you guys have talked about. So looking at the DMs when I woke up, looking at Twitter, and just, you know, stat sheet looking, you know, obviously, as I said, I did not get to watch, so I'm not going to make any like this is what happened type thing. Darvin needs to be better about rotations.
Yes.
He got a lot better in the second half. I'm gonna give him credit
for sure. I mean, especially that ending, that closing lineup was just really good. They played like damn near the entire fourth quarter in overtime, if I remember correctly. But he's got to be better, as Mert said, how Anthony Davis was out. I remember, even through my like sleepy haze and sick haze, of thinking when I saw Merge like freaking out, like, why is AD still not in the game?
Yeah,
I was also like, I'm sick and I know he needs to be in, you know, like this.
I use
some
very choice words.
Oh, I am sure. So that's definitely odd. AD, despite, I mean, he still played 42 minutes. Mm-hmm. As Merge said, an odd game for him. 10 for 19. Like, he is still really good.
Yeah, I mean,
he's insane, right? Like,
yeah,
he's so otherworldly that 10 for 19 is like an average game.
Yep. Schroeder, as you had said, Merge, there, he can be so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably is not back next year again. But he, like,
he's outplayed that, that minimum deal. Sure.
Yeah, for that contract and everything, like it's a steal. It's great. He has like he'll play like four or five really good games and then have two or three stinkers. And then so many people forget of the things he's able to do. You know,
the one thing I will say is, and I'll use this comparison, he is better than Malik Monk.
Yes. Well, yes, without a doubt.
And Malik Monk got the non-taxpayer mid-level exception.
Yeah.
Then it should be aiming for 12 to 15 a year easy.
Schroeder is a really good defender. He has boneheaded moments. For sure. Like, he has those minutes that I know that people...
He's what Westbrook stands think Westbrook is as a six-man. Essentially, that's what Dennis Schroeder is.
I think Schroeder is like a really good backup point guard. Oh, yeah. a probably a low end starter. Yeah. But like some nights he'll play as your second best player. I mean, he's shown he's capable of it.
You LeBron, could do worse than Dennis Schroeder being your starting point guard if you don't have a star. Is my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I am surprised that Vanderbilt did not play as much, especially with only one personal foul. That is, he only played 22 minutes, but...
I think that had to do with Ant just not being good, even without Vanderbilt guarding
him. No, I mean, and you kind of, you can, at that point, kind of save him for later on.
100%, yes.
Because Troy Brown, at this point, needs to stop playing as much. He's
a two-shift guy. At most, in my opinion,
he's getting too many minutes. I was saying this with Nas by the end of the year, like he had stretches where he was really good in the year. You know, our buddy Raj, you know, has talked him up a lot, but like he's had a lot of bad moments, and there are times where he acts like he's
crazy kind of that guy.
Yeah, and no, I mean he just doesn't.
He's a guy that I could 100% see coming back next year because
the one thing I will say,
guy again.
The one thing I will say about Troy Brown is he is an elite regular season innings eater.
Yeah,
he is the guy that you want playing all 82 games. Mm-hmm. He'll play 20 to 25 minutes. He won't do too much that will cost the team. He'll occasionally be really, really good and outplay that. But I think he'll be back on the 140% raise. That's what I think he'll be back on.
I think this kind of goes to the rotations again. You have to cut minutes from guys. Malik has not been good for a while.
Really, if the shot's not going and you need to play someone, I'd rather Max Christie be out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to try, I still say Lonnie. He was a DMP, and I get it. Like, I get it. It's fine. I think honestly, if it potentially works in LA's favor for next year of bringing Lonnie back, that's what I still would do. But
the thing with Malik is his shot started to come around.
Yeah, he was 2 for 3 and 1 for 2. So like that's fine. It's just he's also really bad on defense.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'd rather play him over Troy Brown just because Troy Brown I don't think should be in the rotation anymore.
No, for sure. And then the one thing that I want to praise is Rui.
He's gonna be a steal because he's not gonna get the money that he probably should, to be real.
No, I am
still like a 5-year deal.
Yeah, Nas and I were you can't sign a 5-year deal unless
you can't unless he's a restricted free agent now.
Yeah,
no, yeah.
So it's a 4-year. Which I mean I would totally sign him to a 4-year.
No, I just meant signing to the maximum amount of deal years possible on that deal.
Yeah, for sure. Nas and I at first did not like the trade. And then I really came around to it. He is a good playoff player because he has the skill set for it. Okay. So the mid range, the size, you know, all of that is just such a huge benefit to him. Being able to, you know, to face up guys, be able to back guys down if need be, being able to shoot. That was a good trade. He got 26 minutes, I think, and would not surprise me if he gets more in the playoffs as they go on because he's a big wing with size. So, like, that's smart.
And there isn't really – I mean, when we move into the Memphis series, you're probably going to want Vanderbilt a lot on Ja Morant. So I can see this Vando getting – some more playing time than Rui. But I think you can play both of them a little more than we have as overall.
Yes.
Together, at least, I should say. Because we haven't really seen many AD, Vanderbilt, Hachimura lineups. And I think against a team like the Grizzlies, who are a pretty big team just in terms of size, I would do that. You take out Troy Brown's minutes there, you can play Rui more, or play both of them together. So,
yes.
So I think that's because I think they're both important, especially because the Grizzlies are a team that likes to create pressure, and there's gonna be a decent amount of shots that are, you know, 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and if you can get Rui in that mid range, he's a decent bet to make them a lot of times.
The one thing I will say is, especially when we get to the later rounds in the playoffs, if you want to play the Suns, I think being able to play both Rui and Vando will be really, really important, because essentially you can put Vando on Booker and have Rui just be that big body on KD.
Mm-hmm.
Just having
that's more of like a Western Conference Finals look there, but
that's what I'm saying. Like later in the playoffs,
yeah.
Like if you can get them minutes playing next to each other to see how it looks in a game, in a series like against the Grizzlies, mm-hmm. I think it's really, really important for the later stages as much as it is important now as well. And then potentially, if you want to look even further into finals, which I'm not doing at all, but if they were to play the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
You would absolutely need both of those guys to be playing simultaneously.
Yes. Yes, 100%. They'll be very
I'm not looking past the first round in the slightest.
No.
Like, at all, before people think I am. I'm not. Right? Like...
Memphis is number two in the West for a reason.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
John didn't play for almost 3 weeks. You know, Jaren Jackson's really good. You know, Desmond Bane's really good.
Overrated though, but
Dylan Brooks is there. David Tillman, he's a nice solid role player to have. You know,
Luke Kennard's a shooter.
Tyus Jones, top assist to turnover ratio over the last 3 years. Whatever LeBron said.
Have you seen that video, Clay and Nelson?
Of LeBron, no, not yet.
Of LeBron break. Oh my god, it's one of the funniest things you'll see. Because he like gushes about the Memphis team, talks about how good they are. And then like he literally talked about Luke Kennard for like a minute. And like how he broke his scoring record and stuff in high school. And then he just goes to Dylan Brooks, oh, you can't disrespect him, and then moves on the quickest you've ever seen LeBron move on from a topic ever.
Yes,
it's hilarious.
I hate that I dislike the Grizzlies as much as I do.
You know, they're very, very cocky.
And
not even the Dylan Brooks. I mean, remember that jaw thing about like they're not worried about anyone in the West.
Yeah. And then of course the West went and traded for like everyone.
They lost like 10 straight teams to teams who are in the playoffs in the West.
Yeah. They have so many players that I like. You know, I like Tillman.
Steven Adams is my favorite non-Laker in the NBA. I love Steven Adams.
Yes, I love him too. Didn't he get hurt?
He's injured.
Him and Brandon Clark are both out. They're very.
Oh yeah. Well, I know Clark. I know Clark is out because of that.
Sergio Aldama again, is
another guy I love.
You know,
I love Brandon Clark as well.
Yeah, I was never as high on Brandon Clark as NBA Twitter was.
I had Brandon Clark in my top five, I believe.
I know. I remember you might have had him top three.
I might have had him top three. I was in love with Brandon Clark.
Yeah, because you were like, the offense will come. I'm like, nah, I don't know about that.
He's so athletic.
He's a good player.
He at least he didn't turn out to be Zaire, whatever his name is.
Zaire Smith.
And Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? That Gonzaga front court, man. You have Clark, Hachimura, Sabonis, Olynyk, Chet, if he turns out good. They've produced some real serious NBA players.
Speaking of Chet, we've all seen that tweet of, wow, this is Chet in Summer League, and this is Chet now. And I was like, oh, he grew a mustache?
Yeah.
Exactly the same. And I think Chet's going to be good. He's not going to be – I'm not sure if I really – I worry about his injury future because he's so thin. He's essentially like a better Poku. Any of the draft people remember Pokovinsky, that's his name was, right?
Pokushevsky.
Yeah.
I know I know Sam Vecenie has like a cult following for him. It's just hysterical. It is.
I was as crazy.
Someone posted this before and after chat.
Yeah, he moved backwards. Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, like, I like Zaire Williams. Like, yeah.
They're ran by draft Twitter people. Like,
they have a lot of players I really like. You know, it's just
David Roddy who's kind of a project, but he's. Like someone ate Jamal Murray. But that's what David Roddy looks like to me.
Yeah, and it's funny that he's only 6'4 and weighs 255. It's fantastic for an NBA player.
Dancing Bear.
But I think that Steven Adams' injury and Brandon Clark injury are a lot bigger than I think Memphis people are making it out to be.
Especially with a team that is number one in free throw attempts. Oh, there you go. Number one in free throw attempts, top five in points in the paint, top five in rebounding. There's more than that. Like, Anthony Davis is one of the best finishers in the league. I mean,
Jaren Jackson is a really good defender.
Yes.
But, like, after he's not.
Can we just have a quick chat about Jaren Jackson Jr.? You cannot duck every single defensive matchup of elite big men in the NBA and be called an elite big man. I'm sorry, you cannot. Like, he has ducked every single one. Steven Adams guards every single elite big man that they play. Yeah, I've never seen him guard. He is
essentially a four. So yes.
Tillman, you know,
he doesn't even guard
an AD. Yeah, no, I know. So I mean, I'm just saying. But like, after losing those two, because those are, I mean, Brandon Clark's a big man. Like, yep. I mean, yeah, it's just a matter of fact, you know. Like,
and, so
it's
and very good defender just in general too. Very athletic, a guy who can be on AD on boards. You know, like that's huge. AD is arguably the best rebounder in basketball.
Yeah,
finally,
Jaren Jackson, 6'10".
Yep.
Steven Adams gone at 6'11". Then they have Santi Aldama.
Yeah.
Literally.
Shooter. He's a shooter.
Yeah. I mean, but he's not going to defend.
He's a twig.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to play in the series.
No, he'll play, but like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
He's their backup five.
I mean, because he has to be, you know. And then after that, like, their next tallest person is actually Zaire Williams, who is more of a three than he is a four, and he's definitely not a five.
And he doesn't play that much. I think Roddy's been eating some of his minutes.
Yeah. I mean they might play Kenny Lofton Jr. as well. Yeah, but Kenny Lofton Jr. is only 6'6".
Oh no, I know. No, I know.
He's not he's big. And then Xavier Tillman is only 6'7". So like they just don't have the size. And I mean they have plenty of wings and guards and stuff like that. So like they should be fine overall. But I think that's definitely a hindrance for them losing two of their best big men. And like not to say like Steven Adams is elite at really anything other than maybe rebounding or boxing out and stuff like that and being just a big presence.
I think he's a phenomenal defender. I don't think he gets the credit for being as good a defender as he is.
I think he's a good defender. But like if you get him in space, he struggles. You know what I'm saying?
But I think that's most NBA big men, though.
I'm just talking as
a big man defender, he's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, like, I think I would still have AD playing against him no problem. You know, Steven Adams would get him every once in a while just because he's gigantic, and he also is just heavier than AD. Like he's a massive human being, but. Yeah. You know, that's huge, you know? Like, now you do have to play Jaren Jackson as the five, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, he has the same issue that Cat has sometimes in fouling. Yeah. He fouls a lot.
He does. Yeah.
See those.
He does, and he can get skittish, and he also has his own injury issues. So, yes. Like, I don't want him to get hurt. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, it wouldn't surprise me, like, if something happened, you know? Like, again, I'm just saying that because anytime you see AD talked about, that is what's talked about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I remember his first two seasons, Jaren Jackson, he only played, like, 40, 50 games, I think. Yeah. He had that knee injury.
Yeah. So I think the Lakers could potentially just bully them, especially like LeBron.
With Dylan Brooks on him.
Is going to do or should be able to do whatever he wants.
Yep. I mean, they're not going to put Jaren Jackson on him. You won't be able to do that. And then you're not going to put Desmond Bane or Ja on him. So it's going to be Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's not only is it Dylan Brooks, but Dylan Brooks is a guy that LeBron very notably, even before this season, absolutely despises. He hates Dylan Brooks, like for a fact. Yeah. So I think that the biggest thing to me in this series is because, you know, Ja's going to get his for the most part. And for me, it's Desmond Bane, because I think if Desmond Bane gets hot, I think they're going to be very hard to stop, because as much as I like Austin Reeves, Bane's really strong. You know, he's a really strong dude, and he's not really a guy that I, even if D'Angelo's on him, obviously, if he gets hot, then it's going to be really hard to stop that offense.
D'Lo probably defends.
No, well, he might defend Brooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brooks.
Yeah.
I think that's on Brooks.
Yeah.
Brooks. Vanderbilt starts on John.
Kennard, you know, that type of guy.
Yeah.
I could
see Brun guarding Bane.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. But that means you're putting Reeves on what? Tillman?
On Kennard. Tillman doesn't start for him.
Kennard doesn't start, so.
No. Kennard started the last few games for him before they went and shut it down. No.
I don't know. I thought normally it's Ja, Bane, Brooks, Jackson, Tillman. So
for the last three games before they rested everyone, that final game, I'll get up the lineup for you now.
So I think he will start, though, with the Lakers because of their – even if he has it, I think he will start because of the Lakers' presence in the paint.
Because their starting five was Morant, Bane, Kennard, Brooks, Jackson.
If that's the case, then, yeah, you put D'Angelo probably on Kennard.
I just have him on Brooks. I think Brooks is the worst offensive player out of that team.
That's true. Yeah. And Reeves is the better defender of the two, obviously. Yeah. He showed some good things on shooters who play movement shooters.
And put Vando on Ja.
Yeah. And I think what you should do, because LeBron will be on Tillman then. Yeah. Or my bad.
AD
on Jackson. LeBron will be on who would LeBron be on?
Bane.
And that's Bane. Okay. I think you could
flip Ja. Oh, yeah, you could do that as well.
With D'Angelo. Or, like, you could put LeBron on Brooks.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, you could put
LeBron on Brooks. Have him roam as a free safety, and then you can try to trap Ja.
I don't know if I like that. I think it was Raj was talking about that. If you like the idea of allowing Braun to be like that free safety, it's always a great idea. But then, like, he doesn't stay as focused, like, or engaged. Like, it's just because he's not.
You know what I would do to Ja? I honestly would just encourage him to shoot.
Freeze, yes.
Shoot freeze. He's a 30% three-point shooter. 30.3 to be exact.
Well, what about this? It's kind of an off-the-wall kind of idea, but what if you put LeBron on Jaren Jackson, you have AD on Brooks, and then you legit have AD roam?
That would be fine.
Because I think LeBron, as like a post defender, I would worry about Jackson as like a pop threat there, because he does shoot the three a lot. But I think really either you force Ja to shoot threes or jumpers, or you'd get the ball out of his hand immediately. You can't let him get going downhill like that last game in Memphis when Ja like went insane in the second half.
Yeah.
You really need to make sure he does not get going downhill, because that's the series. If Ja gets going downhill, in my opinion, at least, he's such a dominant player when he is able to get to the rim like that, it's really important to stop him. And it's really important to make sure that there isn't somebody outside of their top two guys going off like a Bane, like Brooks hitting like six threes or something, like Luke Kennard coming in and doing the same thing, Tyus Jones hitting a couple of threes, stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I agree with all that. Sorry, I'm having a brain fart. I don't remember where I was transitioning to.
Nelson just came back. What are your thoughts, Nelson, on the series?
I think the important matchup is going to be definitely Morant and Vanderbilt, because I do think that it's going to be tough for them to run the Jaren Jackson Morant action that they like to run a lot, just because it's going to be AD and Vanderbilt, and even though AD is slower than Ja, and Ja's one of the fastest players in the NBA, that is not going to be easy for Ja at all. And especially with AD sitting a little bit taller, he's probably going to give him a little bit more of the three-point attempts. So I guess a lot of the games are going to come down to how well Ja shoots from those shots that he might get. And apart from that, I think Dylan Brooks, by the natural NBA consensus, is pretty overrated when it comes to his skill set defensively. Yes. I think Zach Lowe mentioned that he's kind of hard to move in the post, but I don't think that he's hard enough to the point where AD and LeBron will struggle much with him. So I think any switches or whenever Dylan Brooks is guarding LeBron, that's actually going to be a pretty easy matchup for LeBron. I don't think he's going to struggle too much, actually. But I guess what I really want to see is LeBron be willing to attack the paint and sort of get to the paint over and over again, because that's kind of like an area where if he does that, then it just opens up his game so much. But LeBron has these games where he thinks he's like Stephen Curry and he tries to just shoot three-pointers and jump shots and stuff for jump shots and tough mid-range shots, when he can just be getting by the guy off of a mismatch. So I really want to see him be kind of playoff LeBron, where he really tries to get a mismatch and then attacks off the dribble and gets the shot that he can get even still at his age. And then just an engaged AD. Engaged AD and engaged LeBron wins the series. And as long as those two are locked in, I don't see Memphis winning the series, just because like AD, when he's engaged, he's a menace on the boards, right? Oh, yeah. And like even against Minnesota, he didn't have a great game, but on the boards he was a monster. Like that whole defensive series that when he took over, he was also a monster on the boards. Like he was getting his hands on every single ball, got plenty of offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. Like he's just a machine when it comes to that. So I guess it's going to come down to that and Darvin's rotations. Like as long as those two are engaged and Darvin isn't having some weird funky rotations, and I think he has proven that like his second half changes are usually better than his like first half starting lineup, and sort of he kind of is pretty good at sort of feeling out who needs to be out there towards the end of games. And I think hopefully he's able to also feel out kind of from game one to game seven, like, okay, once he establishes the rotation, he kind of like sticks to it unless, you know, something weird happens. But I think that was also kind of one of the big issues Lakers had with the previous coach, where like the rotations were just off, and you know, as long as those aren't off and AD and LeBron are engaged, like it should be a pretty easy win for the Lakers. Like, I mean, it's going to be a game where Desmond Bain is hot, and that game the Lakers likely lose. But I think as long as there's not a mistake on the Lakers' end, then they should win the series. But the Lakers are kind of dictate whether they win the series or not. It's all in their hands. It's not really in Memphis' hands, to be honest. I don't see it. Like Ja is really good. He's really, really good. Mm-hmm. I still question how good he is really, like when it comes to the playoffs and winning, because I mean, he just hasn't had much playoff success. And to be honest, like his game, when it comes to just punishing people at the rim, it gets a lot harder to do that in the playoffs. And so I will be curious to see if he's able to really, really like put his footprint on the game, but I just don't think he will. And I think it's going to be actually AD and LeBron who do.
The one thing I want to say is the fourth quarter and overtime of that Timberwolves game has made me a lot more confident in how I think the Lakers are defensively than anything I saw in the regular season the last 25 games or so. Even with D'Angelo, they were playing good defense. Like, it was just Towns who was destroying them at times. And that's because he had... And this goes back to Darvin. It was quite obviously a Mo Bamba game against Minnesota. Like, if you're going to play anyone as the backup five, it should have been Mo.
right? Because he's big enough to match up against Kat. Kat's not a quick dude, so you don't have to worry about Bamba's quickness there. Not that I'm thinking that. I think when it's all said and done, I think Bamba will still be on his team next season. So I don't think it's a lost cause for Mo at all, for what it's worth.
Especially for a month. He only played like two or three games, three or four games, something like that.
So I sort of get why Ham hasn't played him, right? Like I'm not at fault for him. But if there was a time to play Mo, it was that game against Minnesota. And to his credit, to Darvin's credit, he didn't force Wenyan in the second half though. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for Wenyan. This series is much more Wenyan series.
Yes, 100% he will play in this series.
And Wenyan has been my surprise this season. Because I thought he was a bottom of the bench 15th guy on a roster. Dude's a legit NBA big. Like, he's not, I wouldn't put him up against Jokic or Embiid or anyone like that, because he's not the heaviest guy. But
he's also only like realistically only like 6'8".
But against the smaller, lightweight centers in the NBA, absolutely. Against Bam Adebayo, cool. Yeah, like, I literally anyone but, like, Jokic or Embiid, I'm cool with, and Kat.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I'm cool with having Wenyan play. I freaking love Wenyan Gabriel, man.
Yeah. I wouldn't want him to be my primary backup big.
No.
Change of pace guy, for sure.
But, like, I mean,
Bamba and AD.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's, you're so happy with that. Like, it really is just, and Bamba played 9 games with the Lakers, and, like, he was just up and down in the rotation, played a bit the first 2 games, didn't play much the next 2 games, played a bit more the next 2 games, played 2 minutes and had gotten hurt, and then missed what, like, 12 games or more, and then played the final 2 games and it was only a little bit that he played. So, like, yeah, I think he should be back. I understand, like, some of the frustration. I understand some of the frustration with, like, D'Lo as well. Not just from the playing game, like how he just didn't seem to
want to play.
I don't know how much I discount him in that.
I think it might be a contract thing, to be honest.
And like, if that's the case, I totally get it. I wish you would show a bit more if that really was the case. And I don't, no one knows. I mean, only like the Lakers and him know that. But like, you know, I would think it would be honestly foolish to not bring back all these guys. For 100% the offseason. I think
Beasley's the one I can see leaving, being traded, maybe with that.
Oh yeah, no. So like I'm not meaning like them. I'm more meaning of like options picked up. They're staying, that type. Like you can move them. You know, like that's totally fine. I don't think you should move D'Lo. You should not move Vanderbilt. Like absolutely.
I don't
not.
Think you should. I think Vando is as untouchable as anyone not named AD or LeBron James.
Yeah,
I legitimately think that Jared Vanderbilt has legitimately cemented himself as a piece for the future. And he's only I think he's just turned 24 years old.
Yeah, like, I mean, he is your long term 3. Like that's what he is. You know, like, and you wish you hope he develops more of like a corner 3 kind of. You're like,
but he is.
Yeah, no, I'm just meaning like you want him I mean, like, but if he turns into like a legit Anthony Roberson, and I'm not gonna say he gets that elite defensively, but you know, like Andre Roberson back then, and not say that he gets as elite defensively as he did before he got hurt, but you know, like if he's
But he'd also be more useful offensively than Roberson was.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, Vando's also better at cutting and finding those little pockets, and he's a good passer. So
he needs to work on his hands, man. There's some passes that hit him right in the hand that it just jumps off. Like,
no, I know.
He really needs to get.
I know.
I think he just needs
to get used to Braun. So
his handle is a lot tighter than I thought it was.
Yeah, he can take it end to end. You know, like I don't think like he is your long term, as in like I'm super happy with him being like your third star type guy, like, but you don't move that guy. You're the him Lakers should Reeves. the Lakers should make him a contract extension this summer.
Because yes. I think he's eligible this summer to sign a new contract.
Yeah, yeah. No, they
had one left on that deal.
Yeah. They need to extend him. But to kind of go back to the series before we do our typical off-season talk and get off of what we do. I mean, we just all love team building so much. If Nelson said that he didn't see a way that the Lakers, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Nelson. I think you were more of saying you see it's hard for the Lakers to not win than for Memphis to win.
Yeah. You
know, like does that all, like, I know that was worded funny, but like the Lakers should, despite being the seventh seed, probably, in my opinion, win this.
Now, I think the betting's even right now. I think it's like push right now,
which is fucking insane for a
2-7.
A 2-7. Yeah. Like, and but that is the thing. This is why, like, I had preached, you know, for how long to don't make a stupid move, like, and everything kind of fell in step, you know.
This is also for a team in Memphis who has they have the best home record in the West. And they have the best home record in the league, Memphis.
Yeah.
And it's even somehow.
Yeah. So it's just, I kind of, like, again, going back to it all, like, if there's one guy, like, AD and LeBron should dominate. Mm-hmm. The only concern, I can't help it. I always have that concern of the feel out game. Yeah. And we were talking about it in the DMs and not to put Merge on the spot, you know, like LeBron, you know, had that, like, really good playing game 2 years ago against Golden State. I said I was still just really worried about
that's literally all I would think off of. So, I mean,
yeah, and he,
I know some people are trying to say, oh, he's old. That was not old LeBron. LeBron had bursts whenever he wanted to have bursts. Yeah. He just couldn't be bothered. Like, yeah. I don't want to bail him out by saying he's old. He is old, but he's a freak still.
I think we stop
bailing him out by saying he's old.
Yeah, I think again, it just kind of taking advantage of we should win this game type of thing.
That's what it's absolutely that.
And you know, it went on too long, and then it got him in trouble. They had to go to overtime. You know,
I texted Merge. I said, if Gobert and McDaniels were playing, this game would have been over by now.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that LeBron would have been more up for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Jaden McDaniels is a rising star. Like,
he's one of the best wing defenders in the league.
Can we just talk about Gobert very quickly?
Stupid on that one.
Yeah. Can we just talk about Gobert and that move very quickly? Because I love to pile on Dell then a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because he's an idiot. I can't believe another NBA team employed him, number one. Number two, right? How is Tim Connolly listening to Del fucking Demps about, bleep that out, please, Mitch, because I'm not supposed to swear in public anymore. I cannot believe that Tim Connolly is listening to Del Demps on personnel moves when this guy was offered the entire Lakers roster, plus all of the Lakers first round picks, plus all of the Lakers pick swaps, and he still turned it down. How are you listening to that man on personnel? Also, on top of that, right? Walker Kessler was the second best rookie this year, in my opinion. Walker
Kessler, than him.
He can pick someone else. I don't care. I think he was great.
I think you're probably there. I think you're probably right on that.
Paolo, I think we can agree. Paolo was in a league of his own, right? Yeah. Paolo was phenomenal. He's a franchise changer for Orlando. He legitimately is, because they have guys that they can legitimately build around now, mm-hmm. and they have draft trade assets now that they can build around Franz and Paolo. Franz, mm-hmm. I really like Franz, but. To go back to Rudy Gobert, right, and Walker Kessler and stuff, they had essentially a low ego, low maintenance Rudy Gobert on a rookie contract for 4 years.
Yeah, Walker Kessler defensively insane that he's this good.
I think he's better than Rudy Gobert because he can actually guard out to the perimeter more.
Yeah,
he
can go out a little bit more on the perimeter.
People don't talk about how with Gobert, if you take him out more than 8 feet, he is useless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimately useless.
Mm-hmm. We had Utah writers making up stats to make him look better. They were essentially making up, like, hockey assists for him. Like, hockey that's screens. Not how basketball works. Yeah. Like, you don't, like, it's not
screen assists.
Oh,
screen
assist, God, yeah. It was screen assists. Like, what are you talking about?
They got to make the, whatever, the ex-Jokic or whatever fucking stat they have that they're making.
It's just.
Did everyone see that guy, by the way? And Walker Kessler is incredible. But, like,
yeah.
We all saw that tweet of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who voted for Walker Kessler over Paolo Banchero because
that's stupid.
All the analytics. Like,
yeah.
I in basketball, I like analytics a lot more than I do football. Love analytics in baseball. You cannot have those two on the court and tell me that Walker Kessler was better. You can't. You can, like,
because Walker Kessler will never be an all-star, I feel. I think he'll be an elite glue guy for a team. Paolo Banchero is a guy you build your team around.
Yeah.
Banchero is legit.
Yep. We got off topic again.
But yeah, no, I just wanted to pile on Rudy Gobert because he's an idiot.
Yeah. I do agree.
If Minnesota,
McDaniels is not stupid. Because honestly, that may have been even dumber than what Gobert did.
Apparently he thought it was just a curtain, and that's in his face he punched it.
But didn't McDaniels punch the wall because of everything that happened out of frustration?
I think I don't think it was related.
I think
he might have been like foul trouble or something. And he was just frustrated.
Yeah,
I think the two things weren't related. I'm pretty sure.
This I will also
in a very small.
I will also say that Gobert's nickname on the Timberwolves is apparently bitch. Like, you
of all people too. Of all people to call you a bitch, Kyle Anderson too.
Oh my god,
it's like the most, like, he won't say anything
unrelated. Unrelated. Trade for Kyle Anderson, please. I will buy his jersey.
Oh, I love Kyle Anderson.
No, I won't.
Just because of the whole Gobert thing.
Oh, yes. I understand.
Come on, Clay.
No,
God's sakes, man.
I always kind of like Kyle, so I'd be fine with it.
No, I think he's a good player as well. That's fine.
Yeah,
but no, just because of the whole Gobert thing, he's gone up in my estimations even more.
Like, I just want to see that jump shot, though. That jump shot is hideous.
I don't dispute that whatsoever.
He's an incredible defender, though. He had 4 blocks and 4 steals just in that first half against the Lakers. It felt like,
for how unathletic he is, he's incredible. Like, legitimately.
Yeah, he's probably like the most janky, like, looking player with the ball in his hands in the NBA.
It's weird. He's such a weird looking guy.
That guy's gonna play till he's like 39 in the NBA.
Yeah, he will. He'll always be like at least like your seventh man on your roster, and it'll be fine.
Like, legit. Like,
yeah.
Oh, what if he loses athleticism? He has none to begin with. Like, what are we talking about? He's just a smart dude.
So what is everyone's predictions for games and who's gonna win and everything? I will start with Alan.
Lakers in five.
I want to.
I think Lakers win on Sunday. I think they lose the second game because, you know, I do give Memphis give Memphis respect because they have some really, really good players. And then the Lakers win the two games at home. And then Memphis will be mentally checked out in game five. And Lakers will win in five.
I'm going to go, man.
You said it earlier, Nelson.
I did say six, but, you know, I'm going to do seven. Because I think the Lakers are going to lose on Sunday. I think LeBron's going to come out flat, like he always does. He's going to do it.
If it was any other team, I'd agree with you.
It's Dylan Brooks, you know.
It's Dylan Brooks. He hates him. Like, whenever LeBron hates someone, he comes out raring to go.
This is true, but I don't know. He's just done it too many times, and I can't help to look back on it and on the Sun series and be like, they just, like, there's no excuse for that, you know what I mean? And
but who did he hate on the Suns? I mean, to the level that he hates Dylan Brooks.
Was Jason on the team? Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. The bunny but, rabbit thing. The rabbit.
I think he didn't like Jay Crowder.
I think he hates Brooks more, though, because Brooks was talking shit about
LeBron. Brooks will play more than what Crowder. Brooks will play like 35 plus minutes.
So I agree, but I don't think LeBron's like sitting there festering about Dylan Brooks, like, especially at this point in his career. Like maybe earlier he definitely would have come out with an edge, but I mean at this point he's a dad. Like his edge is kind of like not completely there like how it used to be, to be honest. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he's honestly like, bro, like I have wine companies, production companies, like Dylan Brooks is like number 80, the 80 thing I think about, not like top five.
Honestly, if that's not top five, that's kind of honestly really frustrating.
I think it is at this point. I don't think it is during the regular season. I think LeBron, when it gets to playoff mode, he's locked in.
Except that feel out game. I think
in that first game, it's important for AD. That's the big thing. AD has to come out with like 40. I think,
yeah,
and he can. Feasibly, he can.
He can. But I think even then, like LeBron has to put his foot down. Both of them have to put their foot down.
No,
the series.
I disagree with that. To be honest, I think as long as one of them plays well, I think the role players the Lakers have built up. I think as long as one of them plays well in each game to the point where they're dominant, I think it's fine.
The problem is that they don't do that though. If one is going to have a feel out game, both of them have a feel out game, and then once both of them have all the role players do. That was another thing that was kind of talked about on the timeline near the end of the season and a bit during the play-in game. If they're like not in it, then the role players also don't.
I think having Dennis helps though,
Austin. Vando,
Dennis, Austin, Vando, these guys helps.
It does, but also it doesn't change anything I said. They still kind of like, well, I mean, those are our two stars. We go as they go, you know, type of thing.
But then Dennis didn't on Tuesday.
I mean, one guy out of 13 that played,
can change the perception of a game, though, is what I'm saying.
For sure. Dennis changed the whole game. I feel
Dennis
yeah.
changed if, the game.
But that's also Minnesota without two of their best players. And don't get me wrong, Memphis without Brandon Clark and Steven Adams, Gobert is Steven Adams level. Jaden McDaniels is on the level of Clark.
I think he's better than
Brandon. Better. I'm just meaning of like on the level type thing.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, so like trying to compare the two. Mm-hmm. So like with those out, you know, just like, oh, I can kind of get to the rim whenever I want, you know, but like, then go do it. That's always the concern I'm going to have.
I think it'll be easier for D'Angelo. I really do. Because Jazz not a good defender.
That was what I was going to bring up during when we were talking about the series. I think it's very important to get Jaw to work defensively, whether that be him on Austin or him on D'Angelo. It might be Austin, honestly,
D'Lo needs to step up. If the Lakers want to win in five, in my opinion, he has to step up.
I'm predicting he will. That's why my prediction comes in.
And like LeBron and AD could just make it all null and void if they just all both come out and just like totally like fuck you type game. Like that's definitely feasible. But I just think D'Lo playing well is and like he doesn't necessarily have to shoot like, you know, seven for eight and, you know, make four or five threes, you know, it would help obviously. But like instead of going 1 for 9, going like
four for nine. Yeah.
And instead of going 1 for 5 from three, I think it went 0 for 4. Going like 2 for 5 or 2, even 2 for 6, like just something like that, you know, just where like he just needs to do that as well.
And that's where kind of why I think the series goes a little bit longer too, is because like D'Angelo played against Memphis last year in the playoffs. Although obviously different players, both Cat and Anthony were healthy, and he averaged 12 points a game. He shot 29% from the 2-point range and 38 from three, which is good, on 5.2 attempts. and he did this over 32 minutes. Like,
if he shoots that from three, I don't give a fuck about that. About the 2-point percentage.
But 12 points and 6 assists. Like I just need him to like show me in the playoffs like a really stellar performance.
I agree. I get it. It needs to happen. I don't necessarily worry if it's 12 points per game as long as it's like shooting well. Mm-hmm. You know,
if he's shooting 38% from three. If someone told me D'Angelo's scoring about 13 a game, but he's shooting like between 38 to 39% from three.
And he did what he did against the Timberwolves, eight assists, one turnover.
Yeah. Because his playmaking was really good on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But just because he wasn't hitting shots, it sort of negated that side of the game.
Yeah. I think also like he is now LeBron and AD who are just
opens up the floor infinitely.
Yeah. I mean, Kat is really dang good. Ant is Ant. Like there's a reason
they're not getting the respect that LeBron and AD get.
Yeah, that was a second year Ant too. That was his first playoffs. So,
exactly. And also you had Pat Bev thinking that he's, you know, God's gift of basketball, you know, as well. So
he's a spoon. Or no, he's a fork. What was it?
I can't remember. It doesn't fucking matter.
they tried to use him as a spoon, but he's a fork. That's what they said.
He's an idiot, is what he is.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I requested a trade, I promise. But then was tweeting about D'Angelo when Malik and Vando being on the team. The idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No. I hate him so much.
I still find it funny how so many people talk themselves into that. So
I think it was only like our group chat that we're all like, no, F this guy. We hate him. We don't want him on the team.
Yep. The timeline was embarrassing.
Really? Some people need to look themselves hard in the mirror.
You want to know what's funny though? I think like Raj is such a Lakers Twitter darling that like he can be positive about Patrick Beverly and like he gets no slack because you know
that's just Raj. He was never super negative about Pat in the first place. I think he's always optimistic about anyone who come in.
Yeah,
but it's just funny because like
Raj tries to be so neutral on everything. I love him for it.
Yeah, he's just a great human.
If you think about all the characters on Lakers Twitter that you know have come across, especially like at least the 7 years that I've you know been monitoring it, there's probably no one more like lovable than Raj and untouchable. Like you rarely see people you know calling him out for anything or
Coward hired the wrong dude. Let me say it one more time. Coward hired the wrong dude.
Did
it's without a doubt.
Well, he won the white guy.
Shocking. All right.
What were your games?
What
was your prediction?
I'll have it in six. I think that they have a feel out game, and then there's like the is it
you have
is
the Lakers
two,
winning
it,
four in a row?
Is it 2-3-2 or is it
2-2-1-1?
Yeah, they'll. I could see a fill out game. And then Lakers winning like three, then Grizz winning the first at home, and then Lakers winning back in LA.
I think if it gets to 3-1, I think Memphis is done.
I mean, potentially. They don't have Clark. They don't have Adams. You know, other guys aren't playing well. You know, Jaw had a weird season. You know, like let's just kind of we'll try and go for it next year type thing. I could totally see that, and it would not shock me. So like,
because then
I just think that we could also have like a let up game that Lakers tend to have. So
no, absolutely, yeah, definitely. So, but I'm leaning more optimistic with my prediction.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick to my normal.
Which tracks for me and you, by the way, because essentially we have the same thing. But I've just gone with a slightly more optimistic route.
Yeah, yeah. So, Merge, you never said yours.
Yeah, I'm also Lakers in six. I do think if they do lose, it's Grizzlies in seven. But I will. I'm saying Lakers in six. But I think if it goes seven, the Grizzlies win. That's what I think.
Whew. I think it worries me going seven.
Yeah, especially because like I said, they're the best home team in the league. They're the best home team in the league. So that's what I think.
I think it'll come down to LeBron and AD just having a total, you know, suck it moment.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, they are
throwing your WWE in there for you.
Yeah. I just think if in a game seven, like experience really matters.
Attitude era.
if you've been there, you know. So I think Lakers pull it up.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I go so six and not quite seven.
My is hot take of
the experience.
If the Lakers win the first round, they're going to the finals.
Whew. I could see it.
It'll very likely be the Warriors the next round.
I think we have the Warriors number, though. I really do.
Because, I mean, they're playing the Kings. The Kings are really good at home.
Yes, they
talk
are.
When the offseason comes up, no matter whatever happens, the Kings are going to be a really interesting team to talk
they
about. Are,
they're really good, man. They have so much talent on that team that I really like.
Damn
you, Hawk, for trading Kevin Herter for nothing.
For nothing.
Nothing.
God, Atlanta.
Can I just make a quick point and just say a big shout out to two people on that Kings? Domantas Sabonis, because Domantas is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And Mike Brown, because that team is so well coached. It is. I watched a lot of the Kings because I love the way they play basketball, and because of how you know me, Clay. As soon as a team is well coached, I will watch them even if I hate them.
Yeah.
Right. The Kings are phenomenally coached. Like
De'Aaron Fox took the leap.
I think he's the most
clutch guy in the NBA in scoring.
Well, I think almost open.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Ian Murray was really good for them this year.
Yeah, I think Domas opened up the floor for him, though. That's my thing.
No, I agree. They needed I still will always wonder about the player for player, but for team fit, and then getting Kevin Herter for nothing.
Ian Murray's awesome as well.
Ian Murray had 41% from three, six attempts a game for a rookie.
What a pick that was, by the way.
Yeah.
Just for team fit again. Yeah. Awesome. Like they have
been a weird draft. Been a really weird draft class that came out, because the Jalen Williams was the other finalist for rookie of the year, along with Kessler and Banchero. Jalen Williams, talk about another team that's super interesting. The Thunder. Oh my God. They have a lot of young talent on that team, man.
How many first round picks do they have?
The question is, how many draft picks do they throw to try and get?
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
because they're throwing all of them.
I think they have like seven or eight.
And
like in the next, like I think in the next 4 years, it's like
Would you throw all of them at a team? Absolutely.
Wemby's a potential generational guy, man. He really is.
Him and Scoot. The one thing on Scoot, for some reason, I always thought
Miller has been. He's been right there too, Brandon Miller at number two.
Yeah, just the fact that he's not an elite athlete brings me down a bit on him. But for sure. That my only thing with Scoot is, for some reason, I always thought he was like 6'5", 6'6". He's only like 6'2", which is interesting.
Can I just say a big F you to the Pelicans, who thought they were getting Wembanyama to the point that they sent scouts over to talk to him?
Oh, my word.
We went 2-10.
Hey, maybe they got lucky with their own pick. Their pick. Remember, their pick. Or, you know, they can
swap if they want.
Yeah,
they can swap.
They got 14, so technically they're the lottery.
They can give us 14 if they want. I'm cool with that.
I remember seeing that Dyson Daniels had been the third best player on the Lakers. He didn't even play in that playing game.
Nope.
No. Coach did not play. So.
No. It's, just something else.
I feel like we should round up and then continue our talk off air.
Yes. I think that'll definitely wrap it up for us. Well, thank you all for listening. I'm hoping during the playoffs we're able to chat a bit more. Any final words from any of you?
I just want to shout out our sponsors for the podcast, JK. I wish if they do want to sponsor us, I'll be willing for an obscene amount of money.
No, I'll pass on that one for that brand. No, thank you.
I'm Bosnian and have no morals. So
yeah, that guy's a cunt. He can, cunt off. as for everything else, thank you all for listening. And go Lakers.